Abortion became legal in America 42 years ago, and since then, the voices for and against the procedure have been strong and usually certain. But there is one group routinely missing from the debate, medical professionals who perform abortions or decide not to. Now some OBGYN residents from Brown University's medical school are lending their voices to the conversation. They've written essays featured in an article in the journal Obstetrics and Gynecology. The lead author is one of their teachers, nurse midwife Janet Singer. Singer helped start a support group for Brown residents after one especially anguished conversation.
A resident came to me one day. She had done a late-term abortion in the morning, and then she got called to do a C-section for a very preterm baby that was about a week farther along than the pregnancy she'd just terminated.
In the same day?
In the same day. And it just really threw her emotionally. It was just really hard for her to know, boy, what am I doing here? How can we hold these two things together? And so we decided, you know, we should come up with a forum where other residents could talk about these kind of cases and how it affects them.
You know, when we think of the procedure of an abortion, we don't often think about the experience that the medical practitioner is going through, him or herself.
Ultimately, that's probably a good thing. You don't, as a patient, want to be worrying about what your doctor thinks or what your doctor's going through. So that's kind of the distance that we have. Most people who provide abortions, of course, believe that women should have that choice. But I think everybody has a gestational age that they think is too far. Many people have a number of abortions that somebody has that they think are too many. Doesn't mean they wouldn't do somebody's eighth abortion, but they may be uncomfortable with that. And then some people are not uncomfortable with it at all. And so there's just that huge range.
Janet Singer asked four residents to write about that range of feelings. We asked all four to record themselves reading shortened versions of their essays. We agreed not to use their names because of their concerns about professional repercussions or personal safety. A note now, portions of these reflections may be difficult for some listeners. The first resident we're going to hear from hoped that having an up-close and deeper understanding of how a fetus develops might help him decide just when life begins. But in the end, he only had more questions.
If my first task as a physician is to do no harm, how can I justify harming a fetus? In the absence of a clear moral understanding of abortion, I can only do no harm. Even so, I've taken part in abortions with various levels of involvement. At the least involved, I've held a conscious patient's hand during a vacuum aspiration. At the most involved, I've performed a dilation and evacuation at 21 weeks for preterm premature rupture of membranes. I thought I would experience existential guilt after this case, but to this day, I feel proud that our team was able to respect the mother's dignity and her autonomy. Performing abortions doesn't come easily or naturally to most providers. And frankly, my decision not to provide terminations challenges my identity as a physician who cares about women's health. I wonder if my line of thinking has been too centered on the fetus and over-intellectualized. I empathize with my fellow residents who experience grief from providing abortions, and I hope they have a deeper understanding of my decision not to provide them.
Next, a resident who grew up in a Catholic family. The anti-abortion position was dogma. When he began his residency, he wasn't sure he was ready to perform elective abortions. Questions went through his mind. What would my mom think of me? What would God think?
As a medical student, I had my first experience with abortion. The patient was 5 months pregnant, and she had severe preeclampsia, which is a potentially fatal condition. Nobody in the city felt trained to abort at that gestational age. The patient got sicker. 24 hours later, a provider was flown in from out of state. The woman survived. When I wavered about getting abortion training, I often thought of this patient. I was nervous about my first day at Planned Parenthood. I envisioned protesters chanting and throwing objects at me. That day, we terminated a 4.5-month pregnancy. To see the fetus on an ultrasound scan, and then to watch it as we carried out the abortion, shook me to the core. I thought I'd made the wrong choice in training. Ultimately, despite the emotional challenge, I returned to the clinic. These days, I'd feel comfortable doing a termination in dire circumstances, but I don't expect to perform abortions in my future practice. This issue is definitely not black and white.
The third OBGYN resident had his mind made up from the outset. His mom used to tell him about the time before Roe versus Wade, when a woman had clandestine abortions in dangerous settings. He felt that was unacceptable. He wanted to get abortion training.
I was nervous about what it would feel like to perform an abortion, but the more experience I got, the more the invasive nature of the act receded. The woman's well-being appropriately took center stage. I'd love to live in a world where no abortions are needed. Countless parents are stretched too thin to take care of another child. I might not always understand an individual woman's choice, but if she feels she cannot be a parent for whatever reason, I'll support her in that decision. The truth is that being involved in this work scares me. I fear the violence and taunting of protesters. Their assaults on providers in the name of protecting life disgust me, especially because abortion is legal. This fear for my family and me has affected my interest in pursuing a family planning fellowship. But I feel that abortion is a necessary procedure, and I'm morally obligated to make it available to my patients.
The final OBGYN resident we'll hear from chose not to get abortion training. It was an easy decision for her. She's a born-again Christian.
I believe that life begins at conception. Since I don't have the power to create life, I don't have the power to take it. I'm proud of my choice and don't apologize for it, but that wasn't always the case. I love obstetrics and gynecology, but I once heard someone say that an OBGYN who did not provide abortions was not offering patients the best, most complete care. I shrugged this off, but I began to wonder, would I be providing the best care to my patients if offering abortion conflicted with my personal beliefs? Would they feel judged and unsupported if I told them that I wouldn't provide a service they needed? Could I truly be impartial when I counseled them? Recently, we had a patient with previable premature rupture of membranes. I was able to counsel her extensively about her options. She cried and wrestled with what to do. I held her hand and told her I knew she faced a difficult decision. She ultimately chose to proceed with an abortion. I knew that the information I'd given her had guided her towards the decision. But it was not difficult for me to care for her and support her through this process.
The four doctors that you've been hearing are OBGYN residents at Brown University. One of their teachers, Janet Singer, says the reality of abortion is much more complex than what we hear in public.
As you deal with real women in real situations, that magical line between being pro-choice and pro-life often dissolves. And so I felt like having a conversation so we can really talk about abortion and get away from this hateful rhetoric that is out there.
That's nurse midwife Janet Singer of Brown University. She helps run a support group for residents who are going through abortion training or opting not to. If you'd like to see the complete essays four of her residents wrote about their experiences, you can find them at hereandnow.org.